MJ has had her own journey with sight loss. A chef and former restaurateur, she has really regained her confidence and is an active volunteer with RNIB. Kim has even published a cookery book in large print for both visually impaired and sighted cooks, with all the proceeds going to RNIB's talking books. And Kim joins me now. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Now, I was thinking, actually, cooking a nice meal is a great way of cheering yourself up, isn't it?
Oh, and it's very therapeutic. When I'm down or I'm not feeling too good, I just go into the kitchen and I cook and bake, and it is really comforting.
But being visually impaired can kind of frustrate that a bit, I think.
It could do, but in reality it doesn't, because the beauty of cooking is that you use all your senses. So you have sight, smell, touch. And so, okay, the sight loss is impaired, but you have all the other senses to fall back on. So a lot of my cooking is done using smell. I'll know when a cake is about to be done by, you know, the intensity of the smell. I know when sort of my onions are cooked, if I'm making a curry, by the feel of the onions coming together. So sight is not necessary.
Now, you became visually impaired a number of years ago. How did that impact on your life at that time?
It was devastating. At the time, I was extremely busy. I was working in the media. I was writing a book. I had two small businesses. And within 1 month, all of that was gone, and I literally lost the majority of my sight, and I couldn't do anything. Having to start to learn to do all the things that I used to be able to do before. And you can never do it the same way as a sighted person can, but you have to do it in a different method. And cooking was one of those things which I loved, and I was extremely passionate about that, and having a large family, it was important that I started to cook again.
There was a period of time, though, wasn't there, where you were kind of floundering a bit?
Oh, quite a long time, yeah. It was, and a lot of it is that people say, well, you've lost your sight, you can't do this and you can't do that, and they do the things for you. Everything that you do, you've got somebody looking over your shoulder, and that kind of undermines your confidence as well. And I'm a firm believer that the only way you can do something is if you try it and actually approach it and do it. And sort of literally other people became my eyes, and for me it was like being in a black hole. I had no control over my life. So eventually a friend of mine said, you know, you've got to do something. You can't be in this black hole. So, you know, why don't you use your passion for cooking and just start to learn how to cook again? So I started doing that, and I started with small things like, you know, making a sandwich, making a drink, and then, you know, sort of things on the hob, frying an egg and trying to work out when, for instance, when a steak, the difference between a raw steak, a well-done steak, a medium steak, and learning the textures. And then I sort of approached different colleges to see if I could do a food course, and at that time they weren't willing to take me on because they were worried about health and safety. And eventually I found somebody that sort of, you know, did the course, and I went on the course. And it was a whole load of booklets, and I'm thinking, you know, how am I supposed to do this? You know, they can read it, and I can't. So I asked for all the books beforehand, and, you know, for about 3 months, I literally memorized, you know, all the books and all the statistics and everything that needed to be done. And that's how I did it. Luckily, things have changed now.
Did you get much support then?
At the time, not a lot. And, you know, it was all done pretty much sort of, you know, with me fighting the establishment to try and do these things, to ask for extra time in exams. And it wasn't until I'd done all the courses that we decided to open a restaurant that sort of my social worker says there's this great scheme called Access to Work, and that's when I first discovered that RNIB has all these visually impaired equipment for the kitchen that I can use. So they got me things like talking thermometers, talking weighing scales, jugs, sort of pen readers. They taught me how, you know, to sort of to use bump arms and textures. And it was only at that point that I actually got sort of support.
Yeah, it can be quite a tough road. You need a degree of determination, don't you?
You did at that time. And I think half the problem is you don't realise that there is support out there. Now I know that if I have a problem in the kitchen, for instance, I am really struggling with microwaves. I mean, microwaves are digital, which is great for everyone else, but for somebody with a sight loss, it is useless. And I never even realised that there was like talking microwaves, and it wasn't until I was talking to the RNIB helpline that they said, oh, we sell talking microwaves, and I have now got a talking microwave, which is utterly amazing.
Yeah, it's a game changer the way technology is moving on. Tell us about your book then. It's called A Taste of Spice, isn't it?
Yes, I'm Indian, so obviously, you know, spices are a big thing. And the beauty of Indian cuisine is it is very much about smells. All the spices are very strong in scents. And when you cook, a lot of it is done by aroma. So it is very easy to do. And let's face it, a lot of people like Indian food. So, and the thing with Indian food is people sort of think, oh, you know, restaurants, takeaways, that's Indian food. No, it actually isn't. Indian food is totally different. And I'm from North India, so we predominantly have, you know, the tomato-based sauce that you find in a lot of the restaurants and takeaways. But we can use that sauce and add things like meat and vegetables and turn it into something else. And it is very easy to do. And we set up in the Northwest a pilot scheme of Indian cookery class where I taught four novices how to cook the Indian-based sauce. And it was like, how do we know when the onions are brown? And it is really easy. It's by texture. The onions come together and it turns into a ball, and these tips are given in the book.
I tell you what, my mouth's watering just as you speak about this. Like, I can imagine all the spices and a very heartwarming kind of food. How can we actually get a hold of the book?
You can get a hold of it through Amazon. So the book costs £5 in paperback. It is in large print and it has hints and tips for the visually impaired. It is also available on Kindle and on ebook. So if you have voiceover, that's brilliant. And we are looking at trying to get some Braille. So hopefully in the foreseeable future, we will have Braille versions as well.
Kim J, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
No, thank you very much.